This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. This year's Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, ends tomorrow with a presentation of awards. That'll make some news. But actually, there's still news from the film that won Best Documentary at Sundance last year, Capturing the Freedmans. It uses interviews and old home movies to tell the story of a child abuse scandal centered on the Freedman family from Great Neck, New York. The father, Arnold Freedman, and his son, Jesse, were convicted of charges related to child molestation. Arnold later died in jail, an apparent suicide. Jesse served 13 years and was released a few years ago. Here's a clip of Jesse from the film.
My father admitted that he was a pedophile and had these fantasies. And yes, my father admitted that he was no saint and that there were times that he slipped. But I was arrested too, and I'm not a child molester. And I don't think it's appropriate for me to have to answer for the sins of my father.
Jesse Freedman is now trying to clear his name based on what he says is new evidence, some of which came from the documentary. The film's director, Andrew Jarecki, finds himself re-involved with this story. He spoke with Day to Day's Mike Pesca.
Andrew Jarecki, Capturing the Freedmans as a film, it doesn't answer questions so much as it raises them, and I could tell you thought it was important for the audience to make decisions for themselves. Why was it?
Well, I think, you know, so many films that you see are feeding you a point of view, whether they're, you know, telling you that gun control is good or this is good or somebody is guilty or somebody's innocent. And I think the audience is really very bright, and if you leave it to them and you give them the data that they need, particularly in a case that's as complex as this one, it's far more interesting for them to engage at that level. And also, for me, one of the fundamental things I came away with from making the film is this sense that the truth is very hard to arrive at. It's very complicated, and it always is in these shades. It's generally not in black or white. And so I think that's what the audience responded to most, in a way, with this film.
Well, have you become more solid in any of your opinions about the facts of the case? I mean, can we read into the fact that you're trying to help Jesse Freedman overturn his conviction or get a new trial? Does that indicate that at least that part of the case you think isn't really a gray area?
Well, I think I've always felt that the police work in this case was primitive. I think that the work that was done by the prosecutor's office, and I think the opinions of the judge in some ways, you know, we're a product of the times, and certainly the late 80s were a time when these kinds of sex ring cases were very popular. And since then, almost all of them have unraveled in one way or another. So in other words, I feel glad that people can go through the film and at the end say, well, I'm not sure, or have a view one direction or another. But I also think that even the people who aren't sure will say, but I can tell that kid never had a chance, guilty or innocent. That wasn't really the right way to handle that case. And that's something I think that makes me feel Jesse deserves another chance to have his case examined. And that's really why I've been trying to help with that. You know, I'm not his lawyer, I'm not Jesse, and we're not the same, and we don't always have the same views at all. But I thought in that I had an obligation to help.
But you think Jesse deserves another chance at a new trial, but still, am I hearing you right, you're not 100% sure if there was sexual abuse in the Freedman house or not?
Well, I think that's a complicated issue because, for example, here you have Arnold Freedman, who's clearly a pedophile. And, you know, I'm a father. I have two boys right in the sort of target age for pedophiles. And I certainly think about child abuse as a very, very serious crime. And in a way, that's why I think when the police work isn't good, it's disrespectful to both sides of the equation. You know, the people who actually are sexually abused end up, in court up against people who say, well, all these sex cases really turn out not to be true. So it denigrates the importance of real sexual abuse to have lousy police work done. At the same time, his son Jesse, who isn't a middle-aged pedophile with a history, he doesn't have any of that, right? His son is a regular kid who's living in Long Island. He's 18 years old. He would have been 13, 14, 15 when these crimes would have been done. And so I think certainly there the standard of proof ought to be very, very high before you lock somebody up for as many years as he's been in jail.
Clearly you made a very conscious calculation about what effect the film would have on a viewer. And I have to tell you, I saw it, I guess, during the summer, and my girlfriend and I came out of there, and you have your post-film discussion, and of course you say, well, who knows what to believe? But now I think I'd have to have the discussion, and if I know what I know now, I'd have to say, well, you know, the director is trying to help get Jesse to overturn his conviction. It does factor in to your conception of the film. Do you think that that's fair on behalf of an audience member to change his conception knowing what you're doing now?
Well, I don't know, because I guess I have a dual role here. You know, in one sense, I'm the person that's bringing the information and trying to present it in a very balanced way. And on the other hand, I'm a human being who has to, at the end of 3.5 years, recognize that there were serious mistakes in the prosecution of this case. It was clear to me that we were developing material that was going to have to be used in a motion. It was going to have to be used to show what went wrong in this case.
Andrew Jarecki, director of Capturing the Freedmans, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
That interview by Day-to-Day's Mike Pesca.